Ready?
All right. No. Hey, everybody. I'm still here. I still exist. It's been a while, which I feel like I start so many podcasts saying, but it really has been a minute, like a couple months since I've been on here. I've been caught up in a few other things, which I'll get to in a minute, but I can say I'm still doing it. I am still here, so stay subscribed. And especially wanted to hop on because this is actually my podcast anniversary 3 years ago, which is so weird. I started this, I published my first episode called The Story of Carrie, which I definitely still recommend listening to if you are brand new here, because that covers so much of what, well, first of all, covers a lot of my story, and covers a bunch of what inspired this space and also what, why I created this space and what it's about, which I still 100% am in line with and agree with and is still the same. So I always think of the podcast at this time and intentionally released it really close to the holidays, because that always feels like something to touch on when it comes to, that needs to be touched on when it comes to chronic pain, chronic illness. The holidays can have a way of highlighting hard things. So I'll get to that, but wanted to first give a little update on the past few months on life post-sabbatical, transitioning back into real life again after being away for 3 months. Bridget, my sister, helped me realize last night I have not done that at all. So here we are. I think I gave my last update was like as soon as I got back, kind of on the trip in general, but I have not shared much since then. First of all, I think part of the reason for that is because I have still been very much in what's felt like a transition. I'll say, okay, when I first got back, also this is kind of a spontaneous. Lately, my podcast style is to get on here, have some notes, but do a lot of spontaneity. So thank you for bearing with that. I think I know what I'm going to say, but you never know. When I first got back though, it was a lot to process, like being away in this holy place in Lourdes and Ireland for a bit, and a week in Italy, just being gone for 3 months, in somewhere that a lot of my friends, like a lot of people know is such a blessed, sacred place, coming back from that. While also, when I got back, I knew I was going to nanny and live with my sister and help nanny my niece. So in some ways, I had a plan, but there was also a lot I didn't know about my next step. So that, on top of having no idea how to summarize 3 months away in such a beautiful place, had me like almost wanting to be a hermit. Also, well, I was also jet-lagged, like, hardcore for a bit. And it's a place, Lourdes specifically, is a place where people can have a lot of expectations about what to expect from your experience there. Because it does change you. Like, I feel that even more, like, as time has gone on. And it is a place of actual miracles, and there are so many stories of healing, like, apart from the, like, officially established miracles that people have, that have been confirmed, like, after 40 years of someone still being healed, and I have a ton of research and scientists that have studied them and validated them, etc. There are a lot of mini miracles, too, and so me returning to the States, still having a headache. If there are any newbies, chronic migraine is what I'm mostly referring to here, and just having a sensitive autoimmune body in general. But I still had the same migraine when I got back from the trip. So part of me almost felt like a disappointment, like sharing that, because which is what I internalized, but I couldn't say like I was fixed in that sense. And a lot of people know not to expect that, but I still wanted to. That would have been cool, you know, to be able to say that. So I had to definitely dig deeper for out ways to communicate and discover ways that there has been healing and ways that I've grown, ways that I really did grow over the summer. Like, I've needed some time to see that and understand. I will say that this is what these are some things I've noticed. Honestly, and maybe I've said this before, the biggest way I feel like I've changed is I realized over the summer I'm a lot stronger than I thought I was. To keep the topic on the physical, I definitely have stronger quad muscles and I'm like physically stronger. I have more muscles for sure than when I left in the spring from hiking the mountains and living in a mountain town for a while and just walking so much more in Europe in general. And because of that, I've walked a lot more since I've been back. Like if my step count, even when it gets to 10,000, I'm like, oh, this is still kind of weak compared to what I was doing. Honestly, I'm about to go for a walk right now at the gym because it is -4 degrees in Wisconsin right now and a -22 wind chill. But I really did discover like the healing power of walking and how good exercise is for me, which I have been working on gradually for the past few years. But this summer, first of all, affirmed that I have gotten a lot. I have gained a lot of strength and could do a lot more activity. The level of activity I did over the summer often was what would have completely laid me out in the past. So gained a certain amount of confidence in my own stamina. I still haven't found a way to do much cardio, hardcore cardio, for very long. I still can't go for a run without having a crazy migraine. But I've done a lot more walking, and that has really, it really helps me sleep, which helps manage my pain, which I know I've said in the past. And also, it helps my head afterwards as well. There's a balance. Like if it gets too strenuous, it can trigger. But if I stay in the right level of exerting myself, it does really help my pain and just my body. Like after I go for a long walk, my body feels normal and I feel like I can just think so much clearer than what can feel normal for me. So that's a huge gain. Also, I would say the biggest fruit right now, there's so many. This is people I met a lot of good people. I felt really cared for by God in Lourdes for so many reasons. And throughout the summer in general, when people showed up when I needed them, etc. But on that note, I think the most like simple way I see myself gaining strength and confidence from the summer is when I'm not doing well now. Like I think of this every day, honestly, but especially when I'm really in a rough place. Like if I have a killer migraine now, I'm like, I think back to the summer and wonder like, how on earth did I do that? Like I had plenty of killer migraines while I was in Europe, but somehow I still managed to like live in a town that I don't speak the language in, where a lot of people do speak English, for a couple months. I got around, and in the moment you just do it. But now I'm like, how? So when I think about that, it's such a source of strength and confidence in like what God can do. And when we're so weak, not even just physically, like I'm talking emotionally too, like I'm generally such a homebody, and I didn't even get homesick over there. Like I realized I'm okay even when I'm across the world for 3 months at least. And that really does, like, I really find courage in that, and it inspires me to do more things here, like in subtle ways, I think. But like I see that over time, I'm like, ooh, I did that. So in that sense, it was so good for me, to realize more of my potential overall. A very tangible change, another reason I wanted to get on here, that I'm honestly, I think it is because of the way the trip inspired me, which I didn't even think about much until this moment. But I think a lot of what I just said it totally is giving me more courage in this. And even though I still have a lot of question marks about it, but it's happening. So I'll just get to the point. In the past 2 months since I've been home, I have set up my own private therapy practice. I feel like there should be like horns or something going off to introduce that it's actually happening, because this has like been on my heart for a really long time. It's like my life goal is to have my own therapy practice. But there are a lot of hurdles. In Wisconsin, you have to have 3,000 supervised hours of doing therapy on your own. I have the degree. I have my master's in social work with a behavioral health concentration. I did a clinical internship during grad school. So most people I graduated with in 2018 are now independent therapists. But before you can get to that point, you have to have 3,000 supervised hours working underneath a licensed therapist to be independent. And there are most of the jobs that hire you before your license they're all full time, which I can't do. And a lot of times they're for nonprofits or for the county or the state in pretty heavy loaded jobs. People do them for a couple years so they can get their hours in. And then once you're licensed, you can bill insurance, you can have your own practice. So while I was over in Lourdes, wrestled with that dream a lot. And, if this was even possible, and started to think about ways that I could instead start another way to kind of apply my therapy skills, but in an unofficial way, which I'm still thinking about, like a mentoring program. But this fall, I reached out to a clinic near where I'm living with my sister for counseling that sounded for myself. It sounded pretty chronic illness friendly. It's a wellness clinic not far. And the lady I reached out to got back to me. She's the owner of the clinic. She was like, sorry, I'm super booked right now. But she said, if you're interested, I can refer you to my intern who I'm supervising. And felt inspired. And I wrote back and asked if she had any room for another intern a few hours a week. I'm technically an extern because I'm not in school anymore, but still need her. And she was like, great. We talked on the phone once and it just all like, it all really fell into place. Like, I'm renting a space for just a couple weeks, a couple days a week. And at the moment it's affordable. And so it's happening. I have my info on, I have a page on my blog explaining it, but as of now, so I have to meet with my supervisor once a month to still be supervised. And I can't bill insurance because of not being certified, but I can do a sliding fee scale. So right now I have, I have the space and I'm doing it. Like, I'm using this clinic, but otherwise it's totally up to me, like, which also does take a lot of work, I'm realizing, in terms of like marketing and getting paperwork set up. And I set up a bank account and, got an official LLC. It's called Shoes Counseling LLC. And all the, just getting all those ducks in the row. But it's happening. And I would absolutely love to have a lot of my clients be chronic pain, chronic illness. At this point, I'm keeping it fairly general though. And as of right now, I have two clients, but one that I've met with, one that I've had a phone conversation with, and just like officially set that up. And I have another lead. So it's been a journey. I'm learning it just takes a lot of work in order to end a while when you're doing your own thing to like have a consistent client load. But I've wanted a slow start, and part of me still, just because of my experiences with work, part of it seems too good to be true, but I'm going for it. And it means that I can make my own schedule and say yes and no to however many duties and people I want to see. So it's happening. I can also put the link to my page about it and the clinic that I'm working at, where the clinic I'm renting the space from. I'll put that in the show notes as well. So if you know anybody, send them my way. If you're in Wisconsin, I can only practice in Wisconsin right now. Unfortunately, even virtually provide therapy, I can only do that with Wisconsin residents. But I would love to see those of you that know me, if anybody comes to mind that would just be a good fit. I would love to connect. And if it is somebody outside of the state, for those of you out there that are just, if you're in the chronic illness world, I mentioned before, like, I'm currently working on a way of doing mentoring that isn't officially therapy, that I could just do for anybody. So I'll have more concrete updates on that in the future, but also send those guys my way too. Those candidates that might be out of Wisconsin and be looking for some guidance virtually. And I've gotten a lot of questions about like my approach to therapy and what modalities I use and such. And I shared more about this on my blog and Instagram as well. So go there. I've actually been investing a little bit in my Instagram, more than usual, in the I Choose Grit account. So go there to learn more. But the heart of my approach is walking with people and helping them understand who they truly are, and realize you have dignity even when you are suffering and life looks different. And I really believe in creating a safe space for people to be honest. I think healing happens like through transparency. CBT and attachment theory are two theories I really resonate with. If it's a chronic illness thing or with anybody pretty much, I tend to focus on drawing out what you can still offer and the way you are still such a gift in the midst of whatever you're dealing with, and just giving you a safe space to be process what is helpful, what's not, how can you best take care of yourself, and a lot more depending on what the client brings. So that's what's been taking up my time. That's why I haven't been as present on here, and that's been a lot of my life in the past few months. And I, on top of that, I'm continuing to gain more physical strength really gradually, but working on continuing to work on that because I can tell that really helps my symptoms. And I'll say for like a quick Spark Notes version of my health at the moment, it's such a hard question to answer because it's different every day. But I will say that with my current pace of life, like it's still always low grade, but I get through a lot of days without taking an abortive. And with an abortive, I can do more than I've been able to do in a while. So on the weekends, a lot of times I'll take something, or if I'm going to see something and I can seeing somebody for work, or if I'm still helping out with my niece as well, like I can function pretty well when I take a Tylenol now or Imitrex, etc. So I save those for big days, and I feel fairly normal with a fairly low dose. But it's still a big thing. Can do more than I have in a while, but still a thing. On that note, the holidays. I really don't have much to say. I've done an episode this week every single year, and I feel like I listened to the one from last year this morning again. I'm like, yep, that pretty much covers it. Some practicals that I mentioned in that episode that still really help me. First, there's a zillion Instagram posts out there right now about how to like best take care of yourself during the holidays, in whatever state you're in, et cetera, et cetera. So I also don't want to add too much to that info, but practicals for me, making sure that I have food on hand is a big thing for me. My holiday approach is minimizing the damage. So I'll have a paleo cookie instead of a full sugar cookie that's more sugaring, or lasagna that is homemade but doesn't have cheese on it. Because if I had full out cheesy lasagna, I would be down for the count for days, and I would have a small piece of the kind without cheese, because too much of that would, of the gluten and other things, would bother me too. Having vegetables, cooked vegetables that I enjoy the taste of, which is, I do really enjoy the taste of if I saute them or roast them. Having things on hand that are less triggering. My mom, and I do have family that like considers me in that way too, which is really helpful. Factoring some days of recovery afterwards. If talking about chronic pain, chronic illness here specifically, that really helps me. Focus on quality over quantity time with people. If you could only make it to a thing for an hour or half an hour, like just be present for that, the time you can, whatever that is. And don't worry about not being at everything for the whole thing. I save up some medication so I can be extra present. So like in the days before, which is right now, I take less so that I can be around as much as I can, have a quiet space to escape. Those are all things I do. And also, so what I heard from my past episodes that I still really stand by and felt repeating is, well, first of all, you aren't obliged to share anything about your life when people ask. You can keep it simple. If you're dealing with, especially like the same hard thing you were dealing with last year or the year before that, it actually is kind of gets pretty sad when I think about how many Christmases I've had a migraine. But you're not obligated to share. And sometimes we truly might not have the capacity to be vulnerable at all, and we're feeling vulnerable, and sometimes skipping something really is the answer. But for me, it's also really important to keep perspective going, and like I really have to sit down and shift my perspective and remember, like, to make these times with family about connection. And I really believe, like, regardless of what place you're in, you sharing your story, and if that includes, if your real life update includes something hard going on, like, that can make other people feel like it's okay that their life is imperfect at this time, and can make for a better celebration overall. And finally, the most helpful thing for me, and what makes it most meaningful to enter into this time, is to remember that it's about Jesus and make it about coming to know him more and celebrating the fact that he came to earth as a child, like as a very vulnerable baby in a very messy place, who was literally dependent upon his family and God to survive. So if you're feeling vulnerable this Christmas, you are not alone. To bring it back to the trip, when I was over there, especially towards the end of my time at Lourdes, so I read a lot about St. Bernadette leading up to the trip, but then finished a book about her life and finished the end, which is, and the end of the book was all about like her greatest suffering. St. Bernadette was from Lourdes, if anybody is confused, and like just saw so many similarities among our stories, and she really wanted a career and her health got in the way. She doubted like her vocation and even like at one point if a comet would take her because of her health, and a lot of times like ministered to people from her bed. So just found a lot of crossroad, and I've found a lot of inspiration in her story too, and still do. So that is one like simple way I realized God with me to bring it home. That's one simple way I felt like God was like, here's this gift of someone like you, to show you you're really not alone, and to show how he's with us, and that we are loved through whatever we're in the midst of, which I think is what this week is all about. So Merry Christmas, everybody.